This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And are we just on air now? Is that?
Oh, we've been on air all the time. Just been banging on without the volume turned up, which is always good.
Okay, so you are listening to Hooked on Joy 94.9, and we are Joy's program for recovery and addiction.
Yes.
And so what we've been banging on for the past 5 minutes, and we probably, you may have heard us, you may not have because the volume was down low, is we are here tonight to talk to you about recovery, addiction, or anything. If you're feeling lonely, you're feeling sad, you're feeling happy, you've got questions about the virus, you've got questions about absolutely anything, send us a message because we are one of the last of the live shows before everyone has to go remote. And we want to hear from you on 0427 Joy949. That's SMS 0427 Joy949. And we would like to hear from you via email at onair@joy.org.au, onair@joy.au. So Hooked recovery program. But tonight we would like to talk to you about anything. If you're feeling lonely in your home and you're isolating and you've got the virus, send us a message and ask us to play your favourite song and we will do it.
Or if you're in recovery and you're thinking, oh, you know, this is all too much for me, we want you to reach out and talk to other people, whether it be us or whether it be anybody in the LGBTI community, within the recovery meetings, sort of with the 12-step recovery type meetings. You need to make sure that there is connection, because what's the opposite of addiction?
Well, the opposite of addiction, David, is recovery.
And connection.
Oh, connection. That's a good one. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we all need people. We all desperately need people.
We need people.
Now, why should people in recovery not isolate? What goes on? You're in recovery and what goes on in one's head when one is isolating? Can you tell me?
Well, because when I've been in my own head all day, and I've been in recovery for a while, but I can still go to that place, what happens is I think everything's happening to me and nobody knows what it's like except for me, and you wouldn't understand, and I don't realise that it's happening to other people as well.
So we might call that the itty-bitty chatty committee that's going on in your head with all these negative thoughts and all
with volume up to 10.
Oh, and fear thoughts feelings that you just don't want to feel, and they're terrible and yucky, yucky, yucky.
Yep.
What's the best thing to do for someone who's isolating in recovery or isolating in addiction? They need to
connect.
Connect. And they need phone.
Talk to somebody.
Help.
Ring up one of the helplines, send a message to us, of course, but ring up one of the helplines, find somebody else that's similar, find your tribe, find somebody that's like you.
That's right.
You know, that's why we talk to each other all the time.
Exactly.
We're like 24/7. We're not even a couple, but we do talk to each other because it keeps us connected.
We like to make sure that each other are okay,
that's
for
true.
Starters. You know, we've done, in the past week, we've been to MQFF.
Yes.
I came over to your place
to the beach
to go walking with Gwenny along the beach on the weekend.
Yep.
This is all about connection, and this is exactly what people in recovery should be doing. Gorgeous sunset, by the way, in Port Melbourne. I couldn't believe it. We saw the Spirit of Tasmania take off.
I said, take off, Spirit of Tasmania. Sun goes down and we're all into it.
And do you know why I did that? Because I had a crappy day at work. And in my head I was thinking, I'm the only one. Life is shit. Nobody understands. Mm-hmm. I need to connect with another human being who's going to make me smile, going to make me happy. So in the car with Gwenny, drove over to Port Melbourne, met David and his partner right on the beach, saw this spectacular sunset. The dog ran crazy in the beach with all these other dogs. We picked up dog poo. We laughed, we giggled, and I went home feeling bloody good, I tell you.
Well, I didn't touch any of that dog poo.
No,
but
you don't.
At the same time, you felt really good afterwards because you'd sort of, is it a little bit like a debrief?
It was a debrief, you know. I didn't have to talk about my work stuff and my work problems. I mentioned it for a minute, but I could also check in with you and ask you how your day was. That sounded quite interesting to me.
Well,
I was able to look at the sunset. I was able to pat other dogs. I was able to talk to other human beings about their dogs down there. I was able to talk about the skyline in Port Melbourne.
Uh-huh.
I was able to ask you if you'd ever been on the Spirit of Tasmania.
Oh.
All of this stuff is getting me me out of my head.
Exactly.
And my
and that volume level goes from 10 down to about a 5. I don't want it on 0. No, I don't want it on 10. I just want to have that smooth in-between area, which is what we look for in recovery.
But geez, my problems seem smaller after that. And that's what we're trying to get across, especially why we're all, you know, if you're isolating at the moment because you've been told to by your doctor or your medical people and you're home for 14 days or you're home for 7 days by yourself, no need to be.
Well, I think you have to be careful too.
You can ring people.
As I said to you earlier on tonight, my partner has been home all day because he's working from home, and he'd have the news on at times, and he'd be, you know, doing some emails and all that sort of stuff, and going, oh, God, nobody understands what it's like. And it wasn't until I got him to connect with one of the other people at work that he suddenly chatted and he went, oh, you know, I'm not the only one. Somebody else feels just like me. And that made him feel better again. And I said, well, you know, this is because you realise that you're not the only one suffering in your home, sending emails and going, oh, God, this is the end of the world. It's not the end of the world.
And you and I know from experience from the addictions, various addictions that we've had, that at these times, for me, being an alcoholic, there is no answer in a bottle of wine for me. Absolutely no answer in a bottle of wine for me.
I'm
I
solve the problems. It's not. It's going to delay the problems and push the problems out of the way for a while.
And generally, if I have a bottle of wine and another bottle of wine, I'm not going to reach out to anybody. I'm not going to speak to anybody. I'm not going to make myself feel better in any way. What I need to do is talk to another human being. Now, we also do know that people like Queer Life, Mary Health, who are all of the
Thorn
people?
Thorn Harbour Health.
Yeah, Thorn Harbour Health.
Q Life, Q Health. There are so many different resources out there. Lifeline and Beyond Blue are always great. They have an amazing web presence, and you can always chat to people, you can put things up. There's also lots of different addiction lines, like the 100-day challenge if you have a gambling problem. There's a quit line where you can talk to people as well online. So you actually don't even have to physically talk to people. If you just want to take that little first step, you can do something online and find out, oh yes, I'm not the only one and I'm not alone, and maybe seek some help.
Okay, so here's an example.
Yeah.
How did your day go? Now, when I walked into this studio tonight, what did you say?
Mine was a hell of a day.
It was too much. It was awful, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. How do you feel now that we've been sitting on air here for 15 minutes having a good old chin wag?
Day, what day? I forgot about it after I started talking to you and getting on air. So, yeah, look, it does remind you because, you see, once again, it's a transfer from being in yourself to somebody else and actually asking them questions and finding out what it's all about.
Yep.
And it's not all about me. I know that.
Never been about us. It's about being with and helping other people and finding your tribe and being part of your community.
That's right. Hey, let's get to a bit of a message and a bit of a track. I'm going to put an extra track tonight.
All right.
We're going to listen to this together.
Hey there. I'm Rachel, the program director here at Joy. During this period of uncertainty, Joy has made the tough decision to broadcast most of our shows remotely. Our wonderful on-air volunteers that you love listening to are working hard to keep broadcasting from wherever they are. Their kitchens, living rooms, even their wardrobes. This means you may notice some changes to the awesome sound quality that you're used to from Joy. But we know how important it is that we keep broadcasting the music and shows you love, so thanks for sticking by us. During this disruption, Joy still needs your help to stay on air. You can donate or become a member at joy.org.au and make sure you stay in touch via Joy's social media. Thank you for listening. We couldn't do it without you. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Enjoy this trip. Enjoy this trip. And it is a trip.
Countdown is progressing.
Addiction. We're talking about changes in that little intro there. Changes. What happened to you, Russ?
God, changes. Recovery. Addiction.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where was your starting point?
Okay.
Before the change.
Well, that's something that we've learnt in this year's season of Hooked is that most people with an addiction, it comes from a trauma.
Yes, we learned that from Tori Orton, who was a great psychotherapist.
Absolutely. So for me, my trauma was... I was a kid in the 70s and the 80s, mm-hmm. and one day lived in a country town.
Yeah.
And one day we were on a school bus and we were off to the school sports in another country town.
Sounds good to me.
Now then we all played and we all got our medals and all that sort of stuff. And then we got back on the bus and the teachers were there and the kids were there. And all the way home from one country town to another, and we're talking roughly an hour and a half in this bus, I got taunted by homophobic comments nonstop. So, you know, you bloody poofter and, you know, pansy boy and, you know, bums against the wall and all of that stuff. So that, and the teachers were on the bus and there was, they did not ask anybody to stop doing it, take my feelings into consideration at all. I just had to sit there for the entire bus trip home and take it.
Yeah.
So that was pretty upsetting, really, really upsetting.
So you put your finger on your trauma as that and also the rest of the taunting that you would have gone through. It would have been bullying at school, I expect.
Yeah, and that and basically that bus trip was the start of it because from a psychological point of view, I closed down after that. It was terribly upsetting for me, terribly devastating. I'd never been in such a horrible situation before, and so I managed to get through the rest of my school years hiding behind, humour. Humour was big for me, so I would laugh at things and be the class clown. And then also I would pretend I was invisible. So, you know, I would sit at the back of the room. I would be the last one to arrive in the classroom. I'd go into the library at school to have lunch. All of the classic stuff that I'm sure many, many, many of our listeners have been through.
So you would have made yourself a small target in order to, you know, not be picked on as much, but you still got picked on, didn't you?
I did get picked on and quite a bit. So what I carried into my later teenage years, right at the back of my head was this fear of straight people, and then, but 100% straight men, because on this school bus, straight men, straight teachers, blah, 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 at me.
So you're in a country town. Were there other gays in the village?
Don't know. This was between the ages of 10 and 16.
Yeah.
So certainly didn't know of any other gays in the village. I later met another gay in my village at the Exchange Hotel many, many years later, and he was in fact one of my taunters. Oh. So you can imagine how pleased I was to run into him, and I had a few words to say to that old boy, let me tell you. But anyway, what happened was I basically took a drink one day, and it changed the way I felt about myself. All of a sudden, I wasn't running on fear.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't scared anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a whole heap of Dutch courage. Because I was the class clown and a bit of a humorist, I became funnier. People liked me more.
Yeah.
I could go up and talk to anybody.
So it didn't matter if they were gay or what, those straight people that you were a bit fearful of, you could relate to them and get on with life and go, you know what, this is pretty good.
Absolutely. So, and that was fantastic. I thought, wow, this stuff in a bottle, this grog, is pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
It makes, not only does it make me feel good, not only does it take away the pain of what's going on in my head, but I can actually socialise with other human beings and I can have a good time. Isn't this fantastic? And you will remember this, David, in the 80s and the 70s, 80s and early 90s, Melbourne was a mecca for nightclubs and going out every single night of the week.
Well, the only place you'd meet somebody would be either at a nightclub or at a bar.
Yeah,
that was it.
There were no apps.
No.
There were no Grindr, Tinder, all of that sort of stuff.
What were they? There was no such thing.
No such thing.
Just went out and we got hammered.
Every night.
Yeah.
Every single night of the week. So it wasn't... I would have to say that I don't hate alcohol. I absolutely don't hate alcohol. I can sit here and look back at my early 20s and 30s and think, wow, so many good times. It was a great time to be gay. It was a great time to come out of the closet. The dance parties were amazing. Mm-hmm. The bars were amazing. We danced. We had so much fun. It was a great time.
We didn't know each other at the time.
We didn't.
We were probably in the same bars, in the same dance clubs, and we're probably like ships in the night, didn't know each other, but I can tell you, I was off my planet.
And I was off my planet. We probably were spending our weekly wage on a good old drink and getting into a great old time.
Yes. All sorts of addictions that we would have been looking after at that time. So, so we go back to the trauma, we go back to the activation of your addiction, and then it would have continued on.
So, basically what happened was I became more and more reliant on alcohol. So I can remember having a boyfriend at one stage who was a lovely, lovely guy, but he knew famous people in Melbourne's theatre scene and musical theatre scene. And we were always invited to their places for dinner parties and to socialise with these people. Mm-hmm. And so I was finding that I was having to self-lubricate more and more because I thought, oh, I've got to be funny in front of these people tonight. I've got to really get to know these people.
I want them to think I'm great.
Yeah, let's drink. And then slowly but surely, I ended up with a job at... And this owner of this particular company, she'd like a drink as well. So we started having a drink at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and then it was 3:30 in the afternoon, and she kind of drew the line at 3:30, but this then become a daily habit that my drinking, normally I wouldn't start drinking until I got home from work. Then I was working with somebody who liked to drink as well. And then this person thought, oh, well, you know, we're here at work. We work really hard. We're doing a great job. The grog doesn't affect us. Let's start having a drink at 3:30, 4 o'clock and see how we go. And
look,
certainly
I'm going to
get
you to stop right there because we're going to come back and hear more about that after this break.
Broken their back, and all of the bright Valentines calling me back. You can find me in the restaurant. You can find me in the pool. You can find me in the mistletoe, playing it cool, singing just unplug with me. What's the rush? I wanna know. Just unplug with me.
Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Hook with David and Russ. Joy 94.9's program about addiction. If you're experiencing immediate problems or if content of this program raises issues that cause distress, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or go to joy.org.au/support.
Look at that on our wall here. Phone counselling at Switchboard is available at 1800 184 527. That's phone counselling at Switchboard, 1800 184 527.
What about the web chat?
And there's a web chat with QLife. So, and you, all you've got to do is go to www.qlife.org.au. 7 days a week, 3 p.m. to 12 midnight. How exciting is that?
You don't have to put in the www, by the way, because I think most people understand that. Also, you know, those things are listed on the joy.org.au/support line.
Mm. Now, we've got a message.
Get a message. Yeah. Do you want to read that out?
I do. The message tonight is, great show, guys. I'm reaching out to friends right now to make sure my recovery stays in check. So,
and that is so important.
Thank you, 454, for messaging that in. We really do appreciate it. If anyone has got a message that they'd like to send in, even if it's just hello, I'm feeling great, or a question about their recovery and how we may be able to help them, 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au, because we would love to speak to you.
We don't want you to stay in isolation. Unfortunately, we won't be able to SMS us over the next few coming weeks because we will be doing remote broadcasting. God knows how we're going to do that, Russ, but we're going to figure it out somehow. But unfortunately, we won't be able to answer messages, but you can go to our Facebook page, Hooked on Joy, which is on Facebook. And, of course, you know, if you need support, just go to one of our programs like the first strategies last week, and you can always look at different ways to interact. You might. What if you're alone and you're deep in your darkest addiction? What are you going to do?
Well, you know, for me, I would... addiction and addiction and the black dog, I tell you, depression, really, really tough combination. I don't like being by myself. It's just something about me that I've never
But at the
enjoyed.
Same time, in the depths of my own addiction...
You did.
I was completely isolated for 2 weeks. Nobody could touch me in the ivory tower that I lived in, and I was enjoying my addiction to the fullest.
Yes.
And made sure that I didn't answer the phone, didn't answer the intercom, didn't answer the door, didn't check the mailbox, didn't do anything, just completely isolated. And boy, did I have a good time. It was finally the one chance I had to be able to enjoy my addiction the way I always wanted to. And it was a voice inside my head that said, I don't want to be that addict anymore. I don't want to be that person anymore. And I was lucky in that sense. Now, you
were people trying to contact you?
Yes, of course they were. Reject.
Reject. Didn't want to speak to them?
No. And and then suddenly that little voice in my head said, got to do something about this. And I did, and I was very fortunate. Now, we left your story off, and you were going to parties with music theatre people, and you were impressing them because you were just switched on all the time because you were pissed all the time.
I was pissed all the time. I liked the odd grog or two. You know, there's nothing wrong with a fine white glass of wine, but I would certainly be carrying my own little Lindemann's handbag wherever I'd go, because
you'd got to the stage where you virtually had permission to be able to drink at work.
Absolutely.
Somebody else that was probably similar to you. Mm.
And then the addiction had driven me to the point where I thought to myself, maybe I'm good at what I do. I've got a great job. I am paying off my mortgage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take this to another level. I am going to open up my own business, and I'm going to make a killing, and my life is going to go to the direction I wanted to go. All happened, yeah. But I didn't count on the addiction to going to another level, and it did, because what happened to me was the 3:30 drinking moved to 2:30, the 2:30 drinking moved to midday, and so on and so on, to the point where I would wake up first thing in the morning, and instead of going to the fridge and having a nice little glass of orange juice, I'd go to the fridge and I'd pour myself a mixture of vodka, beer and wine, stir it all together, scull it down, and I would go, oh, thank God, now I feel normal. Hair of the dog, seize the day, let's go to work. And,
It sounds like you were coming to in the morning after passing out at night.
Mm. And I didn't have a life, because basically what was happening was work. I could still work.
Yep.
Okay, I could still pay my mortgage.
Yep.
But what was happening to me, it had got to the point where at this stage I wasn't drinking 24 hours a day, but I was certainly drinking 16, 17, 18 hours a day. So by the time you start drinking alcohol in the morning, early afternoon, I would be passed out by 7:30 at night. I would then wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning with the dry horrors, have another couple of drinks to go back to bed again, pass out, wake up, have a drink, go to work. Does that sound like a life?
Well, but you probably thought it was a life.
Maybe, because I was addicted to the stuff. In fact, I was so addicted to the stuff that at no stage did my head tell me, hey, Russ, you've got a bit of a drinking problem here. You need to see help. Now, my friends who stuck by me, they didn't give up on me. What they would do from time to time is they would say, come on, Russ, let's take you to an AA meeting so you can meet some other people who we think you might be able to connect with. And the problem was I went to these AA meetings. I was drunk. I would sit there. I would look at the people in the room and I'd say, nah, this isn't for me.
They're not like me, are they? They don't understand either. They don't have a life like me. That sort of thing.
I've got too much drinking to do. I'm having a good time. Yeah. Get me out of here. Anyway, basically what happened was that I decided to take my drinking to another level. Do you know what the next level was?
What was that?
I decided.
Is there another level?
There is another level. I decided that it was time to, A, sell my business and retire. I was 40.
Ooh,
I
thought, sounds okay. good. That's pretty successful.
I thought I've had a good run. I'm going to sell my business and retire. But what I was really doing was setting myself up to drink the way I wanted to drink. And I can tell you right here and now, David, I sold my business. I retired. It took 9 months, 9 very short months for me to be drinking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And never sober, never.
You were pretty well isolating, though, in that pay. Because, you know, I know in my addiction, I was looking for the way to enjoy my addiction the way I always wanted to. And in that brief 2 weeks that I had, I could do that. But all things just pointed towards getting to that point, just as you got to with selling your business.
And that's what we do in addiction. What we do is we push ourselves to the point where we want to use or we want to drink or we want to eat or we want to do whatever you're addicted to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this is what happens to us people in recovery.
Oh, my goodness. Look, we're going to come back and talk about that in a few moments. I've just got something to read out first. Firstly, are you struggling with your mental health? Need someone to talk to but not sure where to go? Joy have launched joy.org.au/support, and Joy supports lists a number of people where organisations that you can contact when you need someone to talk to. Looking for support is a healthy way of dealing with your feelings and is a powerful way to help you get back on top of things. This is good advice, Russ.
Absolutely.
Head to joy.org.au/support for more information. Joy, your voice, your radio station. We'll be back in a few moments.
I got a gum stuck under my shoe, damn, it's bugging me. And you were worried that the others might have seen. Sorry I don't give you perfection like you want me to, but that's something I never ask of you. So listen, and your highness is the truth. I
anything, cause honestly, I need it.
Listening to Hook, Joy 94.9's program about addiction. Hey, remember last week I promised that we were going to have Shana Wan from Sober in the Country on our program
tonight. She couldn't come in tonight, which is terribly unfortunate.
It was going to be a phone interview anyway, yeah, because she does live in southwestern Queensland. When I was trying to talk to her last week, she was in transit from Sydney. She was having a lot of trouble. A lot of flights have been cancelled around this country, and she was having a lot of trouble. And then, of course, as the big V has continued and different things have been, measures have been put into place, her website is under a great deal of demand at the moment, so she's attending those sorts of things. She is prepared to come on our program very soon. Shana Wan is one of the most amazing people we will ever meet in our lives or talk to in our lives, and we'll have the privilege of doing that. And you'll have the privilege of listening to Shana as well on our program, but that will be in a future program.
Now, if you're in recovery or addiction, I have some friends in recovery today that decided tonight to do a Skype recovery get together.
Wow.
And so they're all at home and they have all Skyped each other. I think there was a group of six or eight of them, and they were sitting at home and they're all waving to each other and telling each other how their days have gone and what's been happening, and they're reaching out to each other to make sure that they're not feeling lonely or isolated in any way.
Which is pretty good. And I know one of the groups that I'm involved in look at their past week on a weekly basis, and we discuss what's been going on in thoughts and feelings over a previous week about how we feel and whether we have any desire to partake in our addiction. So it's interesting because as you talk to each other, you actually are out of self, which you talked about earlier on tonight, and you're listening to other people and what they're going through, and you go, you know what, that's happened to me before, or, oh, gee, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. But you're listening to other people rather than being in yourself.
I'll tell you another thing that's been helping me a lot has been had a terrible bug on my back, blah, 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 and I've been in a brace for nearly 12 months, and I was very sick last year. And I have been having very stressful days at work. I'm a travel agent and people are screaming and wanting to come home from all over the world, and we're working really, really hard. But I go to Pilates 3 times a week. Now, I've made friends with everybody at Pilates. I walk in the door there and they take one look at me and they say, okay, Russ, we're not going to talk about travel today. What do you want to talk about? I get on the machines. I punch a punching bag, I lift weights, I pretend I'm a muscle Mary, and by the time I leave there, I am feeling fabulous again. So exercise is good for you, very good for you.
Once again, Tori Orton, the psychotherapist that we had on, said one of the keys in certainly early recovery is exercise. And it can be just walking down to the end of the street, seeing somebody each day, not even talking to them, but just maybe giving them a nod, and suddenly your whole life changes.
Well, you're a runner, aren't you?
Now, we did receive an SMS just before.
Oh, wasn't it a good one?
It was a visual one, and we can't really talk about that on air, but it was really nice.
Yes, thank you, 807, for sending in a picture of a man's bottom for us. We do appreciate that.
If you want to send a message to us, 0427JOY949. This is one of your last chances before we're doing remote broadcasting, which we'll do from the back seat of your car, maybe, Russ, or maybe we'll do it from the boot.
Yeah, oh, we'll find a way to do
it's
it.
It's a hatchback, yeah. But maybe from the living room, yeah. From the wardrobe, wherever.
We could do it from we'll the, put a program gosh, together. Botanical Garden, Shrine of Remembrance. Hey, we could nice, do Eureka it? Tower. Who yeah. knows where we're going to yep. broadcast from.
I don't
from.
Know. We're going to put some programs together to keep you in the loop. But if you want to send a message, this is your last chance tonight. If you're in recovery, if you're in addiction, you have any questions for us, 0427JOY949. You've got a few minutes to do that.
And again, phone cancelling, if you need cancelling, 24/7, 7 days a week. 1-800-184-527, web chat, qlife.org.au.
It almost sounds like a telethon. Now, where were we up to in your story? You're in the deep, darkest part of your addiction. What changed?
Okay, well, basically, symptoms of an alcoholic. I had alcoholic diarrhea.
Ooh.
I wasn't sleeping properly. My thermostat was not working properly. So,
were you eating?
I was eating, but I was drinking more than eating.
Wow.
My thermostat wasn't working properly, so I wasn't showering. I had the shakes, so I was isolating because I didn't want people to see how much I shake.
Hey, Russ, come on out. Let's go for a drink, blah, blah, blah.
Unable to because I had the tremors.
Yeah.
I felt my face was red, my body was itchy all over, my liver was almost shot. It was so big and bloated and oversized.
It's not that bad.
I just felt yucky. So where I was at was I had come to a crossroad and I woke up one day and I thought, shit, this is serious stuff. If I don't do something about this, I'm either going to keep drinking and kill myself
mm-hmm.
and I was too afraid to die. There wasn't an ounce of me that wanted to commit suicide. I still, at this point, drinking 24 hours a day, would not admit I had a drinking problem, but I knew there was something wrong with my body. My body was giving up on me, so I went and saw my doctor.
Didn't you just sort of think, oh, maybe it's the drinking?
Not at all. Not no. at all, no.
Something's wrong with you.
Yeah, something's wrong with me.
You
yeah.
can't figure out, this is what I'm putting into my body, this is what's wrong with me. So, no. So let's
transfer called denial.
Across.
Denial.
Because yours was alcohol. But so you could be on ice or you could be on opioids or you could be on some other form of addiction and you'd be going...
Marijuana,
it's not
food.
That. It's not that. It's something else.
Mm.
But you got to the stage where you went and saw your doctor. What did your doctor have to say?
Well,
to
you know, my doctor had been asking me the same question for years and years and years. How much do you drink? And, of course, me, being me, the little sneaky liar, I thought, maybe I have one or two glasses of wine a day. This particular day, I was so scared that I was going to die that I walked in here and I said to her, I'm drinking a lot. I'm drinking 3 bottles of wine a day and half a bottle of vodka and I feel like shit. And she said, honey...
That's a lot of
honey,
alcohol.
You've got to go to a rehab.
Yeah.
So she booked me into a rehab. Off I chuffed, went into a rehab. Rehabs are amazing. So it's very important.
Like Amy Winehouse, you didn't say no, no, no.
No, I said yes, 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 because yeah. I had reached my rock bottom, and my rock bottom for me was fear of dying. Okay, so it was fear of dying. So that was my absolute, absolute rock bottom. And that's when I reached out to my doctor and said, help me, help me, help me.
There is something about addiction because they say it will take you to 3 different places. You either are going to end up in jail, in a mental asylum, or dead.
They're exactly.
The 3 choices. That's where exactly. It always heads towards.
Mm.
So you didn't die. You didn't end up in a prison. I don't know, would you call a rehab... I suppose an institution.
Well, it was a
anyway.
Prison. It was a prison to me yeah. because I was still in denial that I had a drinking problem. So it was a prison for me. So I spent 2 weeks in rehab.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was in there, I had to be on Valium because they have to ease you off alcohol.
It's a detox, isn't it?
Yeah, they have to ease you off alcohol with Valium because they don't want you to have an alcoholic seizure. Which can be very, very dangerous indeed. So I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings while I was in there. There were just 2 that I had during the 2 week period.
So they took you from the rehab?
No, they had the meeting at the rehab. At the rehab itself. I had counsellors come and see me. Right. I met peers. I met other people that were in the rehab at the same time. And we all got to know each other. We were a pretty clicky group. However... the only thing that resonated with me was Alcoholics Anonymous. And I can tell you why, because the one thing I remember that AA taught me at the meeting was total abstinence is the only way we are going to be able to look after you. I walked out the door
that's
of the meeting.
That's pretty different to what you were doing, though.
Oh.
So total abstinence is that's not even a come down. It's just like, that's it.
Yeah. Well, I was still scared that I was going to die.
So you walked out of that meeting?
Yeah. I walked out of that rehab. Straight across the road is a pub. Down the street is a gay bar. Now, I could have quite easily done my 2 weeks in the rehab, walked out the front door of the rehab, gone straight into the pub and started drinking again. And started the cycle all over again and wound up back in the rehab again in 6 or 3 months' time. Instead, I chose to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Hardest thing I've ever had to do in the world, but the best thing I've ever had to do in the world. I had to go to Alcoholics Anonymous every single day for 3 months and it was worth it. It got me sober. I've got the best life I have now. Family, friends, people close to me, it is the best thing I've ever done and I highly, highly recommend Alcoholics Anonymous.
So it sounds like you've found your tribe, which is probably the main thing, and you are connected with people. As we said before, if you are feeling a little isolated, please reach out and use any of the services, certainly on joy.org.au/support. There are certainly lots of people out there to help, but you've got to ask for that help first.
Yep, help. It's not that far away. Help is your friends. Help is your family. Help is your partner. Help is your mum and dad. Help is calling any of the hotlines that we mention on our program.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, look, we hope that you've enjoyed tonight's show and remind you that if you are experiencing immediate problems or if content of this program raises issues that cause distress, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14, Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 or go to joy.org.au/support.
It is important to move away from self-destructive reasoning. Recovery involves breaking the cycle of addiction, removing the trigger of negative thinking, and restoring us to emotional sobriety. One of the greatest highs in life is feeling good about ourselves. Always, always remember that none of us are alone in this world and that the first step in recovery is to always just simply say, help, I need some help.
Thank you once again, Russ, for your sharing your experience. And we want our community to be one of hope and look forward to your company next week as we continue to explore Addiction Unhooked. Meanwhile, it's goodbye from Russ.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, David. Goodbye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.